Thank you for listening to this episode of Courtside Indiana Podcast. Please hit the subscribe or add button on your podcast app to get them delivered straight to your phone, tablet, or desktop. As always, we'd appreciate a rating and review, and you can reach us directly on our Courtside Indiana Twitter at CourtsideIND. Welcome to Courtside Indiana Podcast. I am Jim Reamer, joined by Dominic Neely. Kids are in bed.
Absolutely.
We are recording this Monday evening, November 8th. It's 10:30 p.m. now. So if something happens between now and when this thing is published, probably next Tuesday, we apologize if we miss something. We may have some actual news between now. Maybe not now in the time it's published, but we'll get to that when it's appropriate. Some eligibility information that will be impactful. Joining us from Southeast Indiana, again, he was with us with the 1A podcast. He has been here for a couple of our episodes and will be around a little bit more often as well. Patrick Woolley from Madison, Indiana. How you doing, sir?
A.K.A. Madtown.
A.K.A. Madtown. Bunch of river rats. We are going to talk about each of our top tens. If one of them is a little bit higher, is a decent amount higher, one of the teams is a decent amount higher on somebody else's list, we'll probably wait until then to get in-depth discussion. That was sort of the theory we worked with on the 1A breakdown. We sort of stuck to that. We all like to talk, especially me. So we may have got a little ahead of our game on a couple of them, but I thought it went pretty well. It lets us put more time on the higher rated teams and give them a little bit more focus. But we'll start. Patrick, who's your 10th team in 2A?
All right. Just like last week, I'm gonna remind everybody the list is fluid. So I'm going to start out with a tie. I'm going to cheat, and I'm going to start out with Southwestern Hanover at number 10.
A tie.
Yep, and Wapahani at 10.
Wow.
Yep. No.
Undercutting the Raiders. We're going to give Coach Luce your number.
Send hate mail his way.
Jeffersonville coach, isn't he?
No, that's no. Joe's brother.
Okay, I got you.
Well, yeah, both Coach Luce is your number.
Yeah, for sure.
Joe's protective.
Well, I mean, anytime you start with, you know, arguably an Indiana All-Star candidate like Andrews, you gotta throw him in the mix. I mean, you guys know him a little more about Wapahani than I do, being from up north, but I feel like he's the type of kid that he could carry a team a far ways.
So you're going to have to convince me on Southwestern. Here's the thing.
Yeah, okay.
I realized last year that when I watched them play,
yep.
And I'm here for the smoke. Sure. They were 19-2.
Yep.
May have been the worst 19-2 team I've ever seen in my life. against South Ripley. So their head coach may be nodding his head, "Yeah, we weren't really good that game." I didn't expect them.
That's Jim Reamer, by the way. Saying
that is. Oh, yeah. Hanover, Twitter handles JW Reamer. DMs are open. I'm here for the smoke. I'm good.
I got you. Okay. So, but the thing is, they're gonna be 19-2. They're gonna be 17-3 again. Okay. Right. So record wise. Ranking wise, they're going to be around that 9 or 10 mix. They're going to be ranked that high based on record alone by the end of the year. Now, they lost one kid off of that team, pretty solid kid, Peyton Gwynn. They return who I feel like is their best player, Jamison Lewis. Mm-hmm. They have a real nice sophomore class, which includes Brady Cook, who started for them last year, and I think he's ready to take a jump. I think we talked about him on the 26 podcast. They just have some pieces and their system works, and they're going to be, it's too bad. It's just too bad they're with Providence and Brownstown in that sectional. But record wise, they're going to be really nice.
They do play fast. I like that. I enjoyed watching that. And the game I saw him play was South Ripley.
Yep.
That was the most bizarre game I've seen probably ever. Both teams blew multiple double-digit leads. And South Ripley won by double digits in overtime. If anything, basketball is a game of runs. If anything, that game is the illustration of that point. And I don't know. I just walked out of there as equally impressed with Cole Henry as I was in that game. I was unimpressed with.
And that's understandable. When you see a team
Southwestern record, had accomplished up to that point.
When you see a team's record and they've only lost two, you're thinking, okay, they're going to be really special. It's going to be something fun to watch. Well, you know, you got to lower your expectations just a little bit.
Well, but I drove down and watched those Southwestern teams that were really good before, when Baumholt was coaching, when they played Jeffersonville.
Okay, they were really good.
And this team's not that group.
No.
They may have a more two loss seasons or one loss seasons or whatever, but they're not that group.
No, those years with Medford and Kramer were the best years they've had since like Crafton and Firth.
Yes. Yeah, Firth. Yeah. Yeah. Andrew coached with me for a couple summers.
Okay.
And again, we talked about this in the 1A pod with, I don't know how we got on Scottsburg, but actually, you know what? It wasn't Scottsburg versus Austin. It was Scottsburg versus Southwestern. That would always be the first game of the year for me because of the football rule back then.
And you know, Southwestern beat Scottsburg last year.
Well,
so
yeah, get that. You know. Yeah, beat them pretty handily.
Yeah, and that was a semi-state Scottsburg team.
Well, I saw them on a bad night. Actually, didn't lose to South Ripley. Well, no, I'm going to look in a different year. Hold on, look in a different year. Wow, never mind. Disregard. They did lose by 8 to South Ripley in overtime. They did not lose by double digits, but they still did beat Scottsburg by 10.
Yeah, and they looked really good too. So,
well, yeah.
Potential's there. Like I said, the record will be good. Number 10. I mean, I feel like that's about fair.
And this shouldn't stunt your view of them in terms of what we're doing here for this exercise, but I would give them some very, very, very long odds to get through that sectional.
Well, yes, if we're talking sectional favorites, they are far from that.
Yeah, I mean, I'm not hater status. It just happens to be one of those stronger moments of the year last year where I'm like, yeah, I'm going to go down and watch South Ripley, support Coach Beach, you know, and pick that game because Southwestern's be really good. And I just was like,
Fun game. It was something you hadn't seen before.
Well, that's true. It was unrivaled entertainment. But yeah, it was weird. I just walked out of there thinking I just wasn't quite sure the heck I watched. I do have them as honorable mention, but 2A is a little bit more loaded than most, seems like, of late. Dominic, who's your 10th?
I'm going with Westview.
Uh-oh.
Number 10.
Homer. How many cousins you got on that team?
None?
How many Yoders do they have this year?
I don't know. I don't have any on my list to talk about. But they do have two guards back. They had a solid year last year. Wiley Minix, he played for Five Star this summer. He's a really nice shooter. for him. Luke Helmuth played for TPE here in Fort Wayne. Was a nice piece for them, but had a nice year for Westview as well last year. And then they got two transfers that are going to be really impactful for him. Wyatt Zepp, 6'7", from Northridge, 4A school up by Westview. He's skilled. He's can step out and shoot. Nice touch. He played for 5-star as well.
We're going to explain that 5-star is AAU program out of Mishawaka.
Yeah. Yep.
Okay.
Out of there. And then they also got a 6'4 transfer from Bluffton, who was their second leading scorer as a freshman last year. He's a sophomore now, 10 a game last year. Apparently, he's got a really nice jumper on him. Caden, not sure how you pronounce the last name here. Is it Grau? G-R-A-U.
G-R-A-U. Grau?
Grau. He was a second. He was average 10 a game, like I said, as a freshman at Bluffton, second leading scorer. His dad is now on the coaching staff at Westview.
Convenient.
So they, you know, and then they have a freshman, I guess, who I was told last night is going to start for them, who is really good, puts in a lot of work, and is going to be, his dad is 6'7", and he's supposed to be really good. So he's supposed to start, like I said, White Zepp, 6'7", the other kid, 6'4", and then the two starters from last year coming back. So, I got Westview at 10. I think they're going to have a good year.
Nothing to add to that. You had all the good inside transfer information.
Yep. That's why I got them 10.
There you go. Adams Central, for me, team that had a good year last year. I think for the most part, they return. I mean, they return a lot of versatility. Isaac Schultz, 6'6", little senior now. Micah McClure. Ryan Tester, those three seniors will be seniors this year. Then they've got I got to look up something here real quick because I can't ever remember his first name. Maybe I'm screwing this up. Still believe in him though. the Reber kid, Braylon Reber. There we go. Gee, Christmas. My bad. I got too many lists here. I really do. I need to figure out a way to narrow this down. But they've got four strong pieces returning back from a team that went 20-6 last year. I think they've got a nice mix of size. They've got good perimeter play, and you know, last year they got beat in the sectional by Blackhawk. They gave Blackhawk a pretty decent game. They lost by 7. I don't know that gets any easier. But when you consider what Blackhawk did to everybody else up until Linton, I mean, I would say they gave Blackhawk as good of a game as anybody, controlling tempo, you know, and they got, like I said, they got four of their better players back, so it'll be interesting to see what they do. If they could get any more, they get increased offense out of Schultz and Reber to go with their guard play, they'll be pretty dangerous come March. Patrick, ninth?
Number 9, I'm going to go with the Paoli Rams. I'm going
with... I have them eighth.
Okay, well, look at us. Point guard Fletcher Cole is kind of their leader, coach. Excellent, underrated kid. He's kind of like a secondary coach on the floor. Of course, his dad, Dusty, is the head coach. They've got a Chad Sullivan boy in the 26 class, 6'4", kind of a rebounder, you know, within 5-6 feet of the basket. They also got another tough guard, Trey Rominger, who, I mean, he might average 15, 16 a game. Him and Fletcher Cole are a tough backcourt duo. And with the Walters kid leaving Linton in their sectional, I think Paoli might be the favorite in that sectional, especially hosting it this year.
Yeah, it's amazing how that opened up.
With Paoli Rams.
Dominic, who's your ninth?
Number nine, I got Manchester. I got
yeah,
Gavin.
That's true. Betting, yeah.
Gavin Betton. Man, he had a really good year last year. He had 21 and double-digit rebounds, 3.5 blocks. Kind of does it all for him. Left-hander. I think he's getting some NAIA offers maybe.
He is, yeah.
And then they also bring back Ethan Hendricks as well, who was a double-digit 13 a game last year. So I, you know, their sectional is tough. You know, they got Blackhawk in there, they got Lures in there, so it's gonna be, and they got Adam Central in there as well.
Yeah.
So that's a heck of a heck of a sectional.
I mean, that's the best North, 2A North sectional for sure.
Your North champion representative up there.
Yeah.
Yeah. So that's a heck of a sectional, but. I like Gavin Betton, man. I like his game. I got him at 9.
He's the best motor in the class.
I do too, man. He's every time I've seen him, he just goes after every rebound.
Yeah, nobody plays harder than he does. I like his length. His 3-point shot was coming around this summer. Probably a miss by me. With the 10th pick, but well, that's all right. I'll recover. Adding insult to insult, Patrick, my number 9 team, South Ripley.
Got them number 8.
The Fighting Raiders, the Fighting Sevy Beaches.
Well.
Cole Henry, I think he's the best player in the area. He's certainly 6'6", versatile, can shoot, drive, post-up matchups. The game I saw against Southwestern, 38 points. Couldn't have done any more that game.
And I think he could have had more, actually.
The way it went in the first half, yeah, was so there were some points left on the board. I mean, again, the way that game played out, there were a lot of times where you're just – I'm sure both coaches pulled their hair out. Like, how could this – these massive swings. And, I mean, I'm shocked that both teams didn't run out of timeouts by the end of the third quarter. I just – whether it was just patience or understanding that you only get 5. But, yeah, Henry's really good. They've got Blaine Ward. Yep. They've got the Vols brother. Both those guys are returning. Both are consistent scorers. They've got the younger Vols, Drew Vols, who'll mm-hmm. be a freshman for them, who's a tremendous shooter. Small, so he'll have some instances where teams will pick on him, but if he can get loose, hit 2, 3, 4 shots a game, you know, he'll definitely be a kid you've got to worry about the way he shoots the ball. And they've got a couple of 6'3", 6'4" kids that are, you know, strong kids that play a role. We'll get those guys open, and you know, but at the end of the day, I do think that a lot of games, Cole Henry will be the best player on the floor.
Yeah, I would say most every game. Him and Blaine are that's a nice combo for a 2A.
Who's your 8th, Patrick?
South Ripley, green and white.
Oh, that's right. There we go.
The green and white. I bleed green and white, man. That's my home school. So,
is it really? Is that where you went?
Yep, that is.
Nice.
Yep. South Ripley Raiders, man.
When'd you graduate?
03. So I
Snodgrass's
dad.
Oh, really?
I think he was like class of 98 or 99. So he was around that same time. But
were any of Randy's kids in your class?
Randy Snodgrass?
Yeah.
Well, they were like 99 and 97.
They were long gone. Okay.
Yeah, they actually ended up at East Central.
Yep. Dominique, who's your 8th?
Wapahani.
All right, let's go. Let's talk about him.
At number 8. And obviously, Patrick talked about Isaac Andrews. He's definitely one of those dudes. wish Kyler was here to talk about. That's Kyler's guy. But no, he can really fill it up. And they have another returning guy named Nick Cook, who will definitely contribute as well, scoring the basketball. But it looks like, you know, in their sectional, you know, it looks like they definitely would be the favorite. And you know, I think LaPel would be right there with them as well.
Yep.
They got guys coming back.
Honorable mention team for me.
Yeah, same for me as well. But you know, I like Wapahani. They've had a lot of success lately, and I think they'll have another good year.
Look for Camden Bell to provide some minutes for them. Coach Luce's son will play a role for them. I mean, he'll be their point guard. Matt talked about him during our pod in the summer. Isaac's younger brother will be anxious, you know, be interesting to see what he does on the varsity level. You know, Isaac is, I mean, he's up there. We talked about best shooters in the state, best scorers at the 1A level when we talked early in the 1A pod when we were talking about Renfro and Josiah Dunham, things like that. I think Isaac Andrews is in that conversation here for 2A. Definitely one of the best shooters in the state, regardless of class. Going to be one of the best scorers at the 2A level. No matter what team he would play for in at the high school level, he would be just an amazing shooter. You know, and he is a tough kid, too. He's strong. He rebounds his position. He handles the ball a lot for them. I had them at number 7. So that's my 7th team. My 8th team was Paoli. We talked about them. Patrick, who's your number 7?
C7. I'm going to go with another team we talked about with Manchester.
Okay.
I just really like the Betton kid, man. Every time I see him, I'm impressed. Like, you might think of him and look at him like, okay, we'll see what he's got. But every time he goes out there, man, he delivers. He's a real bulldog inside. If he misses a shot, he'll go right back up and get it. So I really like that kid.
Dominique, who's your 7th?
At 7, I had Park Heritage.
Okay.
They returned their top 4 guys. And Trey Shelsky, I've seen them play actually at D1 camp. I don't think they have a ton of size.
They don't.
But Trey Shelsky, man, he can definitely. I mean, what they got to the where? Semi-state.
Yeah, they shoot the heck out of it,
and
with this group, Trey's dad is the head coach, Rick. They junk it up defensively. They've got to a little bit to mask their lack of size. They hung with Linton pretty well. I mean, they weren't gonna. Unless they like the Luce kid, no, I don't think he's any relation. If he is, it's distant. I think he hit 8 threes. Ooh, against Linton.
All?
Yeah, maybe 6. It's either 6 or 8. But he was unbelievably hot and was not Trey's. I bet Trey would feel it wasn't a good game for him. There's other things that he does on the court that make up for a little bit of maybe how he struggled in the first half, but they were down 9 at halftime. I think. And Trey hadn't really scored a lot. You're just kind of thinking if he can get going, then they got a puncher's chance. Puncher's chance, kind of like a shooter's chance, you know, the way they were shooting the ball, the guys they've got, you know, they've just got, because Ren Harper is a kid also that shoots the ball well. And they'll get a couple of young guys that come up for them this year and provide some minutes. Ethan Tidwell, who's going to be a sophomore this year, will give them some minutes. They got a freshman, Carter Crum, who will give them some minutes. But Dowd, Harper, BT Luce, Shelsky, those 4 guys, those 4 guards were, you know, a key part of everything they did last year. I've got them 5th on my list.
Same thing. I got them 5th too.
No, you got them 5th. So that was your seventh team, Dominique.
Yep.
Mine was Wapahani. We talked about them. Patrick, who was your sixth?
I'm gonna go back up north. I'm gonna go to Tipton.
There we go.
Yeah.
The mothership. The mothership.
Neck of the woods.
We say that. That's where my family's from. So it's primarily Tipton, but if you live on State Road 28, there's a good chance you're related to me.
All right. So Grady Carpenter,
my favorite.
Boy Swain, really good. It's a good backcourt in 2A's you're gonna find. I'm not sure
Swan.
About
did you say Swain?
Swan. Yeah.
Swan.
Okay.
Nolan. Yeah.
Gotcha.
Go on though. You're good.
Sure about the height. I think that kind of holds him back from getting into that state championship contender mix. But I mean, if you guys know they've got any height or not, jump in. But I feel like that backcourt they've got, and I think they've also got an incoming freshman that's supposed to be pretty good.
Well, it depends. Yes.
Okay.
If you ask me, yes.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know which one we're talking about, though. We'll get to that a little bit more. I guess I've got him six, so we could talk about that now. I'm trying to find something here real quick. Or I could just pull up the roster. How about if I just do that? Swan and Carpenter. For me, Carpenter is the best passer in the state right now. When he was a freshman, I know I tweeted something about him being the second best passer in the state behind Braden Smith, who, of course, was a senior at that point. Braden Smith now at Purdue. But obviously, Braden has since graduated, moved on to bigger and better things, leaving Grady Carpenter behind to be the best passer in the state. I don't know any differently. I haven't seen anybody else with his vision, with the zip he puts on the ball. At 6'5", he's unique. I think the only thing that's keeping him from getting consistent Division I looks is just showing a more consistent outside shot. And I know that's something that they're trying to get out of him, because last year, I don't want to say he had a green light, but they definitely put him in situations where he got a lot of trail looks when he wasn't bringing the ball up, or he would advance the ball early and it would come back to him where he would be, you know, in a position where he would hit, you know, that would be a good shot for him. But then you throw Nolan Swan out there as well with his vision. They do have two of the better passers in the state, period.
You know who Jackson, Grady reminds me of a little bit? A little bit of Braden Hobbs in him.
Yeah, he does. I agree with that wholeheartedly. I talked to John Riley earlier today.
Yeah.
We didn't talk about Braden, but John coached him in AAU all through his high school career. You talk about size with Tipton, shifting back to them. They do have a Humerkaus coming up, Sam, who will be a 6'6 junior. That could be some size. They do have two freshmen that I do like. McElfresh, 6'7 kid, and then Quinn Smith is a 6'2 wing. I don't know. I like the McElfresh kid pretty well. I think he's got some untapped potential there, and I think he could help them. I don't know about how he handles the speed of the game, but I don't know how much. I mean, it's tough contributing at Tipton as a freshman. They in the past they played a pretty decent schedule. They definitely play the better teams 2 and 3A level in their area. So it's not something where you just roll in there and start. Jackson Mooney for them is one of their better shooters. He's the kind of money. Yeah, my bad. It is money. But Sam Humerkaus might be able to provide some size for them. I think his brother's at Evansville. I don't know how much he's playing, but there were a couple highlights of him against Miami of Ohio where he looked pretty good. So he must be getting some minutes down there as a kid that I think either walked on and got a scholarship or transferred in. But Tipton's got a lot of pieces. But here's the thing with Tipton. The last two times I saw them play, 2 years ago, Oak Hill, last year, Bakaniqua, they got put to the wood. They didn't play hard. They didn't play with any toughness. That's very much unlike a Cliff Hawkins team.
Yeah, and I was going to shout out Cliff Hawkins. He's an old Madison coach.
Yeah, guys down in Madison know about that. Center Grove. His teams are always physical. Every now and then, maybe a little chippy. Might have one or two guys out there, you know, maybe making some, you know, getting a little chippy out there. But this Tipton team hasn't been tough yet. So the question is can they turn the corner on that? The talent is there. I've got a lot of belief in Carpenter. He is a difference maker at that level. And, I mean, we're starting to get in that part of the list where it wouldn't surprise me one bit. Like, I got Park Heritage ahead of them. But I would think if you asked me if I think Tipton have a better shot of winning it than Park Heritage, I think the answer would be I think Tipton probably has a little bit better shot. And I just think it's the difference maker of Carpenter and his size and what he can do with the ball at 6'5". That's hard to replicate, hard to prepare for. And kind of everybody, you know, the Brownstown Blackhawk teams, two teams I'm sure we're going to talk about in depth, they have those types of difference makers too that may be a little bit obviously more highly recruited, but I think Carpenter's just a tough cover at the 2A level. And come March, that's all they're playing. So, Dominic, who was your sixth?
So I got Bishop Lewis here in Fort Wayne.
There we go.
And number six. You want to talk about him now? Or I think you probably got him higher, right?
Yeah, let's wait.
Okay.
Let's wait. I've definitely got him higher. Not definitely, but specifically have him higher. You're going to know more about their overall personnel.
Yeah.
But I think we're in agreement as to why they've gone from sub 500 to pretty high up the list.
Yes.
Patrick, who's your fifth?
Park Heritage.
Mine too.
Nope.
We talk enough about them, we think?
I think so. I just got to put up, I mean, when you return all that they have returning, and you went to a semi-state. Was it a semi-state final even?
Yeah, no, semi-state, no. They got beat by Linton in the first game. No, we all got the – no offense to Coach Shelsky. We all got the semi-state final we wanted, which was Linton versus Brownstown. So that's not what Park Heritage wanted, but – that's what those of us that chose the 2A semi-state to watch wanted, maybe a little bit. But bottom line, Trey Shelsky was number one leading scorer as a freshman last year. And he's only going to get better. He'll improve his playmaking. Solid defender. At that level, a plus defender. But a kid that's strong and will be able to guard that position at various levels. Hoping to find out more about that next spring. But at the same time, they're going to challenge. And their problem is going to be the same problem they had last year when they get in. If they have the same success path that they had last year, they're going to get in against Brownstown Central.
Going to be tough.
And just be undersized. And not be able to make up for it by being more skilled necessarily. You know, I mean, because Brownstown's skilled and bigger. Their hope is that, not that it's going to be an easy, their hope is going to be that Providence wins that sectional. Because they just match up with them better physically. Who's your fifth, Patrick? Dominique?
Number five, I got Park Tudor.
There we go.
I think they have a lot of guys back, unless one of them transferred.
Go for it.
Hudson Horvath, KJ Mark, Cal Bostic, Kamon Washington. Interested to see what they do. You know, obviously they lost Jermaine Coleman.
Yep.
I think he might be the least talked about 2023 kid. I feel like no one really talks about him much, but obviously he was a nice, really good player for them, Division I player. But it'd be interesting to see what they do. You know, obviously with Jermaine, he was their star, right? So obviously trying to get him the ball, get him his touches. But now that's kind of, you know, they got a lot of good players and kind of see what they do, you know, without him. And obviously their schedule, they play a really good schedule. They're going to get tested throughout the year. And then it looks like with their sectional, they're probably the favorite in that, I would think, unless University is got a lot coming back, or Covenant Christian.
Not University. I mean, they lost Sabian Kane.
Yeah.
I did shoot a text out to see if there's any new faces there at University, and the answer was generically no.
Yeah.
I don't know what Kane is getting out of a prep school in Arizona, but if he was still at University, they would be on this list.
Yeah, for sure. But no, I like Park Tudor at five. You didn't have him on your list at all, Jim.
Not the top 10. No, I.
Yeah.
For them, if you really want to analyze it, to me, their X factor is Bostic and his development. Can he stay on the floor defensively, like foul trouble wise? How well does he rebound? Those are things that he's going to have to be the guy that makes up for the athletic plays that Jermaine Coleman could make. I think they are going to be, they're definitely going to be a different team offensively. They will be, I think there's things that Jermaine is never best. I've talked to his dad about this. He was never best at isolating, being an isolation guy, in my opinion. Just because I talked to it with his dad doesn't mean he fully agreed with me. Probably was being just polite and cordial. But I've always thought Jermaine was best off the ball on the move, constantly cutting, constantly moving. But, you know, it's enticing to just put the ball in his hands, as skilled as he is, as long as he is, to do that. And now that that's gone, you know, I think you'll see some more balance. I think you'll see, you know, if a kid like Washington can step up and be a consistent scorer for them. I mean, Horvath is going to get his shots up. He will probably be their primary ball handler. Miles Wiley will be a kid that will get some good minutes for them as a sophomore. Another Carmel kid, you know, and they, you know, Tim Adams does a great job of developing kids. So, you know, they will have enough pieces that I don't know how deep they'll be. But they do have some good young kids that may not be a factor this year, but will definitely be kids that, you know, to keep an eye on going forward. Fourth, Patrick, because my fifth was Park Heritage. So who is your fourth, Patrick?
All right. Well, it's all depending on this transfer news coming up, but I'm going to go with Fort Wayne Lures at number four.
And that's where I've got them. Who is your fourth, Dominique?
Tipton.
Okay, so we've already broke down Tipton.
Yep.
Okay, so we know this much about lures. We know Danny Kelly, 6'6 junior, is improved, will be a factor, will be a really good piece on a lot of different teams.
Yes.
They picked up two transfers from Carroll. This is not, I don't know if this is news, who this is news to, but Draylen Truesdale, Davion Truesdale.
Darion,
my bad. Both are 6'4", long,
yeah,
good athletes. I get them confused sometimes as to who does what. To me, Darion is the better shooter of the two. Draylen is the more relentless downhill guy. Coach Coffing tells me that I'm wrong.
I thought that was the case, unless I mixed them up.
That it's flip-flopped based on his experience. But at the same time, they both would have made Carroll really good, but they're no longer at Carroll. They have not gotten a ruling yet on their eligibility. That situation will be, I don't know if it'll be finalized on November 14th, but it will be heard on November 14th. And I can't imagine that it will be much later than that, that we find out the results of that situation. It is not as clear cut as the Jaden Brewer situation that we talked about at length a couple of years ago in terms of what the IHSA should do. But it is a personal enough matter that it's probably not best to get into it without mom and dad wanting people to talk about it, you know, in an open forum.
Jim, did I hear about a possible one-time transfer rule coming up in the next year or so for Indiana?
Nah, probably not.
Transfer?
Probably not.
Hmm.
I don't think the IHSA will willingly ever do anything to undermine coaches and a school's ability to challenge. Here's what happened. The IHSA, I don't want to go too far down this rabbit hole because we've talked about it at length in other places. Now, Carroll didn't sign off on it. Carroll challenged the move. They said the kids moved for athletic reasons. Okay, that's neither here nor there at this point. But the IHSA finds themselves getting the biggest heat when they go against what the original school is the school that an athlete leaves. When the original school signs off on it and the IHSA doesn't approve it, that's when they get the most heat. The second most heat they get is when it's these personal situations where a school is either incapable of or unwilling to deal with it. And that the family, let's say the custodial parent, is looking for something a little bit more stable. Let's just say it like that. The IHSA should just step out of the way and say, okay, especially when there's information provided toward that angle. I don't know what the loss is for the IHSA to say, look, these kids shouldn't have to sit because the original school couldn't handle something simple. That's my take on it.
That's a good way to put it.
Okay, I'm looking here on the Indy Star. October 16th article said an Indiana lawmaker wants the IHSAA to adopt a one-time transfer rule.
Yeah, that, I mean, yeah, but that doesn't mean it's being considered. That's just what an Indiana lawmaker, and that's a Fort Wayne lawmaker who is,
oh boy,
has been consulted in this situation, in this their eligibility.
See, I just thought I heard something about.
No, that's fair. Yeah. Okay. So toward that end, yes, you did hear that. But no, it did not come from the IHSAA. And I'll say this. As much as I think the Truesdale should be eligible, I don't want state legislators getting involved in high school sports. Greg Doyle, who from the Indianapolis Star rails on the IHSAA every chance he gets, talks about they don't know the kids, they don't know the situations. I could agree with that. Speak of the devil. State legislators know even less. I don't want state legislators involved in high school sports. I think sometimes the IHSA can be a little tone deaf and a little distant. They definitely don't pay attention to their athletes when they're not in season. It's clear by how they handle some of this past link stuff where they miss things. You know, whether or not they don't know because they're not involved. You know, we could have told them, anybody could have told them on certain situations like this kid transferred to this school. Well, yeah, there's a past link. He played for this assistant coach in AAU or this guy trains him or, yep. Either that stuff matters or it doesn't. But the one thing I don't want is a state legislator to be involved who's just trying to, I don't know, gin up some votes, maybe. Because the Fort Wayne guy, he had no clue what was going on when he made that statement. They reached out to him to see if they can't get a little bit of extra traction, because the IHSA is just fumbling the situation with these kids. They're flat out fumbling it. Again, it's not as clear cut as what the Brewer situation is, but it is a little bit more personal. And that's why we're not really going into too much detail with it. It's kind of odd that it's not as one in some hands, it's a little bit more serious. But that's probably why we shouldn't throw out some details. But the Truesdale should be eligible. You know, they just should be. And, you know, we'll find out. I guess they'll find out on November 14th on what it's going to be. And if they're eligible, Bishop Lures will be one of the best 2A teams in the state. I mean, they would have one of the better backcourts in the state regardless. I don't know what else they've got besides those two kids and Kelly. That's where Dominique comes in.
Yeah, they
So go ahead.
Yeah, those guys. And then Isaac Zay, he was their second leading scorer last year, is back. He's a senior this year, averaged 10 a game. He's about 6'4", 200 pounds. He's strong. He can step out and hit threes, athletic. He's going to be a nice player. He's a football kid. He's going to start for them. And then, like you said, along with Danny Kelly, the Truesdales, and then they're thinking right now is Carmani Davis, a guard for them who can really shoot, really can space the floor for them. He was a kid I kind of liked that I went and watched one of their open gyms or workouts a couple weeks ago. And he was a kid that I think he's a sophomore. He was a kid that stood out and played well. Can really shoot the ball. I really like Lures. I had them at six. It's just obviously if they're not end up not being eligible, then I don't have them in my top 10.
Yeah, I'm the same.
But if they are, I just think they bring in something different to 2A. Like when I went and watched them last year against Penn. And Carroll comes out and has Draylen Truesdale on Marcus Burton because he's 6'4". He's extremely long, extremely quick. Obviously it didn't really go well for Carroll. I think Marcus had 35 and took him out with like 6 minutes left in the fourth. But I mean, Draylen made him work, right? I mean, he was, he's super long.
It didn't go well, huh?
It didn't go well, but he definitely took the challenge. And, I don't think he'll be facing any Marcus Burtons in 2A. I know that for a fact.
Not March. Yeah. That's,
yeah. So no, but I like that's kind of my thing with lures is like they got two, Darion and Draylen, who can, to me, at the 2A level, especially, they can take some of these other teams' top guys out of the game, in my opinion, with their length and their quickness. I think that Lewis potentially has a chance to make a lot of noise this year.
I mean, they waxed HSC last year. And I know HSC had an up and down year last year, but so did Carroll.
Carroll, yeah.
And it was kind of a weird game because they played it an hour earlier than what they were supposed to because of weather. That was the day we were supposed to get like 18 inches of snow. We got 7. At least down here, we got 7. I don't know what you all got up there, but it did throw some things out of kilter. But I remember texting Dominique during the game, like, who are these dudes? they didn't start that game. I do think Draylen was starting right later in the year, correct?
Yeah, he was starting like kind of in the middle of the year, and then all of a sudden towards the end of the year, he wasn't starting again. It was
definitely did not start against HSC.
Yeah, it was weird. It was, I don't know, it was kind of weird to me, but
he came in. They came in together, and Draylen was better that game, and he made an instant impact. And I was texting Dominique like, "Who is this dude? Who are these guys?" And then I saw him in the summer. And I thought Darion was the better shooter. Again, the game and a half that I got a chance to see. And Draylen was just getting downhill at will. The summer you do sort of consider the fact that you're playing teams with that don't prepare, don't scout. So some of that stuff kind of goes with a grain of salt. But still, you can tell the athletes they're doing it against and sort of figure how it translates. Plus, 30 years of watching summer basketball, you still kind of have a baseline on how that plays out. But at the same time, the motor and the athleticism, and you talk about how they played Penn. He was 6'4". I don't think they were 6'4" last year.
Maybe 6'3".
Yeah, they're definitely 6'4" now. So that's a big backcourt for a 2A team. And I don't know their other pieces besides Kelly, but Kelly is a good athlete who is improving his skill, and if nothing else, has a great motor. Again, they may go in. I mean, their schedule is brutal for a 2A team. They play. Yeah, I was looking at the wrong one. I was looking at Carroll's schedule. They play a lot of the same teams. Their schedule is still brutal. They play all the 4A teams in that area. They're all conference games. They play Northridge, Leo, Mishawaka, Marion, no slouch at all. Fort Wayne, Canterbury. We've talked about them in the 1A podcast. I mentioned Norwell. They played Jay County, who's always decent. DeKalb is never horrible. Huntington North, sort of a different pace. New Haven's going to have some talent this year. And, oh, by the way, they close with Carroll at the end of the year.
Yep.
So we may have to go to that game. But anyway, yeah, if they are eligible, they will be a definite threat at the 2A level. All right. Who was your fourth? No, wait. Dominique. We don't know who Dominique's fourth was.
Okay. I think I said Tipton, right?
Oh, you did?
Yeah, I believe so.
Okay. So we talked about
that. On that lures
about an hour ago.
So our top three is all the same?
Probably.
Maybe not in the same order, but.
I would think it probably is.
Maybe. All right, who's your third team, Patrick?
All right, I'm going Blackhawk, the Lures sectional rivals. Kellen Pickett, I mean, he's arguably top four junior in the state, top three or four junior. I think he's even under-recruited for as good as he is.
He's definitely under-recruited.
They've got a really nice schedule, too. I mean, they actually come down to a tournament in Lawrenceburg where they've got like Garen Catholic, New Pal, Beech Grove, Newport, Kentucky, who's a top two or three team, Jennings County. So they've got a really good tournament down here. I'm going to try to check them out at. That goes along with like Manchester, Fort Wayne Lures, Fort Wayne Wayne. Yeah, and they're one of those teams, man. They don't really rebuild either. They just keep on reloading with Coach Roth. So I'm gonna go with Blackhawk Christian at number three.
I've got him two.
Okay.
Where do you got him, Dominique?
I have him at three.
Three. Anything else there to add? I mean,
yeah.
Everybody knows how I feel about Pickett, so.
Yeah.
Not that you guys disagree. I'm just.
Right. Yeah. Kellen Pickett. I actually messaged your former player. They put a graphic out on Twitter, Blackhawk, and I didn't see Pickett on there. And a team Uh-oh. Picture. But Uh-oh. It was just the seniors.
Oh.
I was like, don't tell me. Hold on. I was going to Arizona prep school.
No, I was going to go check my front bedroom. Hold on. Let's make sure he's not moved into Carmel.
Yeah. No kidding. But then, it turned out.
Kids move out of Carmel, not into Carmel.
But
people need to start worrying if I decide to get rid of all my woodworking equipment, convert that front bedroom into a, quote, Airbnb.
But no.
Pay rates from Carmel.
I'll quit. I'll quit. City before income. Good.
There you go.
But besides Pickett, Isaac Smith, just got a Huntington offer. Big time shooter. Coach Roth on our podcast earlier, a couple few months ago, said that he's going to be able to showcase some of the things he can do outside of catch and shoot, which that's what his role was last year. So I'm excited to see that. Also, they have him listed at 6'6". Or I've seen that on Twitter. I thought he was 6'4", but maybe he grew. Aiden Muldoon had a nice year as a sophomore, I believe, last year off the bench. He was their sixth man. They only went six deep last year. And he had a big time three in the state finals in the second half against Linton. But he's going to start for them. He'll be a nice guard for them. And then up from the JV, Bryce Sefton, Gade Sefton's brother, is going to be a junior this year. And he was their best player on the JV last year. And I think he would have been on most 2A varsities. I just think Blackhawk had obviously a lot of guys in front of them last year that are gone now. So I think those four, and then I'm sure they'll have another guy sprinkle in that probably played JV or was on the bench last year for the varsity that will contribute as well. But those four, Kellen Pickett, Aiden Muldoon, Isaac Smith, Bryce Sefton, and other top guys.
Fully agree. I'm on the Kellen Pickett bandwagon. Everybody knows that by now. My third team was Providence. Everybody else has them at second, I suppose.
Yes.
Yep. Yeah. Noah Lovan, Quentin Hess, Elijah Fuller Tucker, Bryson Whitlock. Who are we missing? Patrick.
Looks like they've got Brian Wall, 6'3 senior, 6'3 Charlie Scott senior, 5'10 senior, Carter Lannon, 6'1 senior, Jacob Harbison. We got a loaded senior class.
So, is this probably the best defensive team in the state?
Definitely one of them.
Coach Miller's teams are so well coached, especially defensively. Their team defense is so good. I watched them play this summer against Greenfield, and I mean, they were. I think Braylon did really well to get Braylon Mullins did really well to get about 15 or 16.
They just got one dude though.
It's a good one dude.
It is a good one dude, but yeah, they just got one dude there right now.
I seen some of their stuff this summer at when they played in that Kentucky event. And man, they just, yeah, defensively, they just make you uncomfortable. Some of these teams, I mean, some of these teams couldn't score. I was actually just watching a game of theirs from last year against, was Evansville Memorial. And there was like 1:30 left in the first quarter, and it was 10-0. Providence, Evansville Memorial hadn't scored yet. I mean, they just play extremely hard. And I've always been impressed. I've never seen Providence play and not been impressed with them.
Right.
Lovan and Hesse are really good, but I mean, you put a lot of guys into their system, and they're going to be competitive at the very least.
How does Lovan shoot from three? I was watching some of his stuff, and
it's improved.
Yeah, it's better. Now they did lose Casey Kalen, who was their leading scorer from last year, but
yeah, Kalen's one of those. He looks like a choir boy, but he's got a little edge to him as well.
Yeah.
No, he doesn't have he doesn't have Lovan's edge.
No, I could tell there were times when Lovan deferred to Kalen a little bit, but it was like he could have done that too.
I think Kalen is the better shooter of those two though. And probably the more instinctful passer. But Lovan's also a guy that will get in the teeth of the defense, and he will get something. He'll get a shot up. He'll get a foul. He'll kick it out.
I think playing in the city for a couple of years maybe brought some of that out of him.
Could be. I mean, I don't know what he was like before he enrolled in a Louisville school. I mean, I know he's a Indiana kid, period, but he played at Trinity or
Louisville Trinity.
Yeah, okay. I mean, they won a state championship without him.
That's been a few years ago. That hasn't, maybe 2018, 2019.
No, it was 2021.
Yeah. Yeah, that's 21, 2 years ago.
2 years ago.
Oh, you're talking Providence. I'm sorry. I thought you meant Trinity.
Oh, my fault. No, yeah. No. Providence. They're just in a situation where they're the toughest 2A sectional in the state. It actually gets a little easier this year.
And that game, that Providence
although
game.
The best team doesn't get any easier, but. Or at least the favored team doesn't get any easier. But as far as the depth of that sectional, it gets a little bit easier this year. But still winning it is going to be difficult because it's Brownstown.
Yeah, maybe you don't have the cherry at Eastern. Or
right, yeah.
Maybe Henryville's not quite there, but yeah. Still tough as nails. That game last year in the sectional final, I mean, it was a tie game. Almost a phantom-like foul call there with like 1 second left, and Brownstown hit the free throws. 0.5 on the clock. Kalen gets a. They throw a length of the floor pass to Kalen. He gets a shot off that looked dead on, looked money, and it just went off the back of the rim. Really great game.
Yeah, I see that being just about like that this year as well. One possession, one call this way, one call that way. I don't see Providence getting blown out or anything like that. I think it's going to be right down to the wire again.
Yeah, I mean, 2A is a little too tough to say that's your state finals game, but man, that's a really good one.
Providence have enough scoring to get over the hump, because it's not like Brownstown's a bad defensive team. They're just they're a good defensive team.
If Providence and they've got 45 or 50, that might be with their defense, that might be enough to do it.
Yeah.
And they held Benner down in the first half pretty well last year. I think Brownstown had like 19 or 20 points at half. He kind of came out and did some things and ended up with 18 or 19. But
well, watch him in the semi-state. You know he's just going to shoot farther and farther back. But that's the that's the Holsinger thing. So, you know, he's like, well, you're going to guard me here. I'm just going to scoot back further and hit that shot. And that's what he did. That's what he did in the second half against Linton in the semi-state. It just wasn't enough.
Yeah. One guy, I mean, as good as Benner is, one guy is not going to beat.
Well, no, but they've got.
Yeah, they've got some pieces.
I mean, we might as well just move on to Brownstown now. They've got Chase Coomer. They've got Colby Hall.
Yeah.
Coomer, and again, Hunter Heyman
hit a lot of shots for
them. Yeah, Heyman, you got, I mean, Patrick especially knows more about them, the other pieces, than I do. But those three, those other two guys, you know, it's we've talked about it before because we've had both coaches on. Not that we talked about the transfer of Hall, and we did talk with Coach Richardson a little bit about the transfer of Hall and Coomer. You know, and Scottsburg's been amazingly good. I mean, they've been really good. And it's think about what they would be with Coomer and Hall, but
well, you can throw in Renfro too because he went.
Yeah, there's that piece. Yeah, Scottsburg's the Carmel of Southeast Indiana.
Yes, sir. But they did get the Miller kid that moved in from Madison.
They did. Yeah, they did. Yeah, that's true. That's true. So we all got Brownstown number one.
Yep. Yeah, does Coach Benner, does he ride off into the sunset after his first state title with his son this year? Or
I doubt it.
Okay.
I doubt it. I think if he does something like that, I think he'll go one more year, get through that 2020, that 2025 group. Because they could be good enough to go back to back.
There's a hot take. Zach had the best one last year. Al Rhodes retiring.
Yeah.
Now we got Jack Benner.
But I think if, let's put it this way: if Dave were to do that, he's Dave basically Benner. Like part of it is like I'm going to do this because I'm going to watch my kid play. I don't know how much he'll play as a freshman.
That's true. I've heard that he may redshirt.
Well, yeah, I mean those decisions get made later, but even if he doesn't redshirt, you know, I don't think he would retire just to go watch him play his freshman, you know, especially with the kids that he's got coming back for next year. So,
yeah, I don't know his coaching or teaching situation. It was just something that, hey, your son wins it. And I don't know.
Well, I think he'd hang on for one more. But that's just instinct. That's not any insight. We certainly didn't talk about that during the podcast, although that would have been a good question. Why didn't we think about that, Dominique?
Because you're not going to get an answer like the answer we want.
That doesn't mean you don't ask the question. That doesn't mean you don't. That's one of those things.
The answer you get will be, I'm just trying to enjoy this year with my son.
That would have, yeah, that would have been the question that I would have come off the top ropes with. Most of my top ropes questions were the guys I knew pretty well. It was usually something like somewhat personal. But anyway, All right. Well, anything? Oh, wait. We got to go through any teams that we that didn't make our list or honorable mentions. Patrick, who were some of your honorable mentions, or all of them?
Park Tudor was an honorable mention. You talked about them for a little bit. Mm-hmm. LaPel is somewhere in that top 15 area. Sullivan is in that mix. And also, I like what Forest Park has coming back.
Okay, I didn't have them.
Yep, they got a pretty good senior class this year, so they might do something down here.
Dominique?
Only one I wanted to add in that hasn't already been talked about is Gary 21st.
I've got a whole other 10.
Oh boy.
I got Gary 21st is the only one that hasn't been mentioned that I have down.
Mine is Southwestern Hanover.
There you go.
Gary 21st Century. Park Tudor. Sullivan. South Knox. Clinton Prairie. LaPel, Greencastle, Manchester, and Triton Central.
South Knox, that's another pod, right? Next week or something?
Our infractions pod?
Yeah.
Patrick, we've decided that we're going to, whenever the IHSA comes out with their penalties, the minutes for their meetings, that we're going to discuss the infractions for the boys basketball teams.
Well, you're just going to try to make everybody mad, huh?
No, I think we did that with the Fisher situation, and then Southmont was involved in that. No, we handled it.
Yeah, I heard the Ben Davis pod.
Well, but that's not infractions though. That was just the Coach Carlisle
incident.
This is IHSA infractions report that they do every meeting. So we've decided we're going to discuss that when it comes out each time. Because some of it's silly.
Southmont had too many kids on a church league team.
Some of it's silly in terms of what the schools do to violate. Some of it's silly in what the IHSA thinks the interpretation is. The South Knox thing. I mean, 4 violations in a year. And people South Knox are acting like the IHSA is somebody. I guess one of the IHSA guys is a South Knox guy or a former South Knox guy. And like suddenly he's out to get him. Like, well, okay, well, how about not violate rules? But anyway, we'll talk more about that. That's going to be part of our storylines/hot takes pod that we record in a week or so. All right. We will have a 1A preview podcast that that was released yesterday. We have a 2A podcast that we just now released today. We'll have a 3 and 4A preview that we'll release later in the week. Patrick will be part of that. I assume you want to come back for those as well, Patrick.
Yes, sir.
Kyler will be part of the 3A and 4A podcasts. We are trying to avoid IU game nights so he can be part of the recording. We will have those will be the week before the start of the season. Then the week of the season, we will have our storyline. Last year, we did a hot takes pod that was not appreciated by Zach, although Zach had the best hot take of all. So we are going to do a storylines pod, things that interest us in the upcoming season, and then one hot take to go along with it. So a mixture of both that we will do the week of to start the school season. And then the week after that, we will get into our regular rotation of games and players and teams. And that's kind of setting us up. Basketball is here. By the time you listen to this pod, basketball will pretty much be here. So, Dominique, thank you as always. Patrick, good to have you on. Look forward to having you on for the 3A and 4A stuff.
Thank you.
And throughout the year. And gentlemen, you have a good evening. Appreciate it.
Yep.